Hey guys, just want to take time again to thank you for listening, as always, to the podcast. It really does go a long way, and I know I put out as many episodes as I can by myself with co-hosts when I can, as I can, and I do apologize for little sponsored segment things that come up about Anchor and everything like that, but it does help support as little as it is. It does help support just, you know, a little bit. It really does go a long way. It's nothing crazy, nothing major, but it's the start of something. It's the start of something that I'm passionate about and I enjoy genuinely. So those of you that listen and keep coming back and keep listening, thank you so much. I do apologize about the ad that is going to follow this. It's about a minute long, so if you want to skip to the 2 to 3 minute mark, that's where the podcast starts. But guys, thank you again so much for love and support. Enjoy. Good afternoon, good morning, however it is that you may be listening. Welcome to another episode of the Sports Euphoria podcast. I missed my most recent podcast, which is usually typically Wednesdays. I want to try to get out on Tuesdays now as well, but it is my waiver wire Wednesday episode. My wife's birthday on Wednesday, so didn't get a chance to do that. You know, priorities. Wife first on the podcast. No, but I do apologize. You know, I did tweet out if you follow my Twitter, my top three picks. I didn't get the chance to break, to go in depth about them. So I do apologize. Obviously I didn't have an episode come out that day. So I do apologize, but I do want to review the Thursday night game that just happened last night. The nail biter that it ended up being between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Philadelphia Eagles. Also, real quick, anybody who does listen to this at a later time, I do go live on Facebook and on Twitch. So if you hear me interacting with anybody or answering any questions, it is via those platforms. So with that being said, let's jump right into the review. It is just going to be me today. My one co-host is still having some computer issues, which is fine. Working on getting those resolved. So, let's take a look at this game that transpired. We had the Bucs and the Eagles. It was a 6-point game, 28-22. Nothing too crazy on the Bucs side. Fournette may end up now being a low-end RB1, high-end RB2 in leagues. He ended up with having 6 catches for 46 yards and also 22 carries. So he touched the ball 28 times. He's their lead guy. That's what happened. Giovanni Bernard had 2 catches. It looks like Fournette might just be their guy. Bruce Arians, they referenced in the game, may have finally lit the fire under his ass or under his bootay. And just motivating him to be, you know, to play better, not get cut, you know, better yourself. So that's looks like what's going on here. So if you ended up going on and waiting on Fournette later and, you know, getting through the past couple weeks, if you did not have to start him, this is going to pay off dividends for you. So congrats. This may help win you your league. Tom Brady did Tom Brady things. Nothing crazy from the yardage side of things. The Eagles' defense is a lot better than what's given credit for, but the Bucs now have a running game. I don't think many people thought about that. They did have the ball for about 40 minutes, the Bucs, that is. You know, so they had the ball for twice as long as the Eagles. That's just crazy. But yeah. You know, Tom Brady had 1 interception, 2 TDs, doing Tom Brady things. You're going to get games like this if you're starting Tom Brady. Now, I believe if they're going to have a running game, they're going to try to save Brady. Not save Brady, but, you know, he's 44. Save his arm, protect his arm, make sure he's okay, make sure he's not taking as many hits if he doesn't have to, or unnecessary hits. But, yeah, you know, high completion percentage, again, you know. He's good at that. This was the Antonio Brown show, though, this week. And the O.J. Howard show. I mean, O.J. Howard had 49 yards and a touchdown. The first touchdown of the game. But Mike Evans was kind of 4 targets, 2 catches. You know, the Eagles have a good defense. Darius Slay's a good player. I believe he was following Mike Evans around a lot last game yesterday. So, excuse me. A lot of players that have been shadowed by Darius Slay have not performed well at all this season. Very good cornerback. They got a couple years back from the Lions. But he capitalized on Antonio Brown. 9 catches on 13 targets and a touchdown for 93 yards. Not the, you know, the biggest games for Antonio Brown, but Brady spreads the ball around. You know, 9 catches for AB, O.J. Howard had 6, Leonard Fournette had 6, Chris Godwin had 5, Mike Evans had 2, Brady had 3, Jones had 1, and Bernard had 2. Like, he what's that? 8 people caught the ball compared to 5 for the Eagles. So, you know, well, but that being said, I do want to talk about the Eagles. Jalen Hurts did his usual 25
fantasy points. I don't think he's scored over 20 points every game this season. So he's, you know, hasn't been putting up the best games NFL quarterback wise, but from a fantasy perspective, he is still putting up nice numbers. He had 3 total touchdowns, 1 passing, 2 rushing. Now that's what he's going to bring to the table. I like him in standard leagues. I like him in obviously 2 quarterback leagues. I have him as well in my dynasty league, and I'm not trying to be biased here. The defense isn't the greatest, and they're just going to put points up. They are going to score somehow, some way. Not a very good game for him. I think that the game script and game flow, or the play calling, I should say, is just absolutely terrible. I don't think that they're setting him up for success. They don't run the ball. There's a total of 19 runs, all of which came from 2 people. Sanders had 9 carries. Hurts had 10. But Sanders, 9 carries for 56 yards, 6.2 yards a carry. His longest run was 23. Devontae Smith, 2 catches on 4 targets for 31. Not a good game. Quez Watkins, a lot of big PI plays, though. So you were hoping if they maybe caught them, you obviously decline it because it's, you know. So it happens. Zach Ertz scores a touchdown, then gets traded to the Cardinals. Lucky Zach Ertz. So if you had Max Williams and forever, I just traded for Zach Ertz before the game yesterday. I needed a running back. I ended up trading AB and Mike Davis for Zach Ertz and Darrell Henderson. Was able to get Ertz into the game, gets me a touchdown. It was kind of nice. So it works out. And then he goes to the Cardinals, which is a, you know, more of a complete team right now. So I think that's going to be good for him. And I think Zach Ertz is better than Max Williams. So I think he'll thrive more in that offense. It's going to take a lot of targets away from the Cardinals, but we'll get to that in a second. He cannot play till week seven, just so everybody knows. Quez Watkins, 3 for 44. I don't really think you're rushing to get him. They're going to be using a lot of Goddard, a lot of Sanders, and a lot of Smith. That's kind of what the team is. Rager had no catches on 3 targets. Quez was just kind of the product. They were just really trying to take Smith out of the game. But the other thing was the Eagles were not converting on 3rd downs. They were getting off the field very quickly, and that really hurt their offense. But to go back before to what I was saying, I don't like that, or I think that their offensive play calling from their head coach, who's never been a head coach before, never been offensive coordinator, is calling the plays. I don't think it's helping them. You saw the crowd cheer when they were handing Sanders the ball driving down the field. He got all of his yards on that drive. The kid can play. Just give him the ball. And then if you do that, your RPOs or your run options become more dangerous to defend, because then you don't know who's going to get the ball. It's just been Jalen Hurts because they don't give the ball to Miles Sanders. You know, or just your play action in general can give Jalen Hurts more time. You know, he did miss some throws last night, which does hurt, but you know, the couple throws that he missed, he was able to force some PIs on it, but you just like to see him maybe get it out of his hand a bit quicker so his receiver has a chance, you know, to break away early so the DB doesn't have time to catch up. But, you know, he still only started, I think, maybe between 9 to 10 games. Like, he's still a young player, he's still developing, but he puts his team in position to win. He brought his team down the field on a chance to win. If the defense gets a stop, the Bucs could have lost. Like, you just have to kind of like think about these things real quick for a little while. Like, he's not bad. He's been putting his team in position to win. Yeah, he may have an untimely interception or he may hold on to the ball too long. But again, he has at least under 12 games started. I think it might just be 10 or a little bit under. Well, actually now at this point, it might be around 10 or 11 because this was week 6. So, you know, give him time. I think he's a very good quarterback. He's battled adversity his entire career. You know, just don't count him out. There's no reason to count him out. If you have Miles Sanders, you're not really going to start Miles Sanders. My buddy and I in my one league had to, because Damian Williams ended up being on the COVID list. So we had to start Miles Sanders. I was very optimistic that he would have done well. And you see that I was talking to my buddy about it. Like, you could see it. Like, you can see that he has the potential to just really do well. considering like 47 of his yards were on one drive. So it's just frustrating to see somebody that's talented. And Kenneth Gainwell had one catch for 1 yard. Like, they know Miles Sanders is the back. I just don't know why they don't get him involved more. It doesn't make any sense to me. But yeah, so Zach Ertz is down on Arizona. I think he's a full-blown start him up as your tight end in Arizona. I think Kyler Murray is going to absolutely fall in love with him. And he does have a little bit of extra time to learn the playbook because he's already played. And they'll be able to kind of get him up to speed quick. They'll probably give him somebody to hang out with him, you know, and stuff like that. So he'll be fine. He could play as early as week 7. That's early as he can play. But yeah, so it was unfortunate, but you know, I still think Jalen Hurts is going to be a top 10 quarterback come end of the season with fantasy points. I think Miles Sanders ends up finishing a lot stronger than he is. I want to hold on to him for an extra week or two before I drop him. My buddy, I think, wants to drop him ASAP, but is what it is. So anyway, that's the Thursday night game. Now let's get into the Sunday games.
Sunday.
All right. This is a 9:30 game. It is between the Miami Dolphins and the Jacksonville Jaguars. So thankfully they're flying from the same state to the same country. So they all get here at the same time. Tua is going to be playing for the Dolphins. Devontae Parker is out for the Dolphins as a wide receiver. I do not know how I feel about the Dolphins team as a whole. Miles Gaskin, don't know what's going to happen to him now with no Brissett. He had a good game with Brissett. Hopefully with having Tua there, it kind of does something, you know, to help him still. Having a little bit of a more mobile quarterback, you're not really sure who's going to get the ball in certain run options. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I really don't like this game. I think if you're desperate, you might start Gaskins, depending on when you took him and depending on what your running back situation is with all the injuries and if you were able to get certain people off of the waiver wire. I will give you, when I get to the game, somebody who you could take a look into picking up because of some injuries that happened late today. I don't feel good about any person on either team except for James Robinson. I don't like any of the receivers. If I'm going to start a receiver, I'm probably going to start Marvin Jones. And I'm not happy about it, you know, but that's really it. And Dan Arnold, depending on, again, your tight end situation, if you had a Max Williams and you had to pick somebody up, I think Dan Arnold is going to be an intricate part of this offense. However, at the same time, Miles Jack is out for Jacksonville, and he is, I believe, their leading tackler. So we'll see. I mean, I definitely think I like Jacksonville to win this game, get their first win of the season, just for the simple fact that for some reason Jacksonville always does well in London. Don't know why, don't know how, but they do. I think Trevor Lawrence is really going to step up and show out this game. James Robinson is going to do typical James Robinson things, but everybody else scares me. If you're super, super desperate with a couple bye weeks and you have LaVisca Chenault thinking he was going to do something, you could probably try throwing him in there. They still do have Byron Jones. However, Byron Jones might be on Marvin Jones. So I do expect a little bit of a bigger game from Chenault and from, what is his name? Dan Arnold. I do see those two, probably Dan Arnold doing a little bit more. But I do think Trevor Lawrence ends up with 3 total touchdowns this game. And James Robinson ends up with 1 touchdown. So they score at least 4. I think Trevor Lawrence throws for 2 and rushes for 1. But again, that's just what I think he's going to do this game. Just a gut feeling. I don't think he's going to be a top 12 quarterback. So if you have another quarterback that you can start him over, please do so. I.e. Aaron Rodgers. I.e. Taylor Heineke. You know, those types of guys I would take a look at. maybe for Carson Wentz, Ryan Tannehill, if you still have him. Those types of guys I start over Trevor Lawrence. I just think that he's going to have a good game, but you can't take that risk if you're trying to win, depending on your situation. But yeah, no. James Robinson is probably the only one that I'm definitely starting. And then depending on your current lineup, deeper, super deep leagues, Jalen Waddle, just because of his ability to you just don't know when he can take one of the house or just get a lot of catches. And Laviska Shenault and Dan Arnold, again, depending on your tight end situation and wide receiver situation. So next game. Next game I am going to talk about is going to be, Giants and Rams. We're going to go with Giants and Rams. So I don't know. No. Daniel Jones is playing. So I'd fire up Daniel Jones. He's been having a good year. He's been playing well. The Rams defense has been a little suspect. They have Jalen Ramsey. He hasn't been doing a crazy amount of shadowing. He may be playing the slot. I see him probably playing a little bit of Kadarius, but probably a lot more of Sterling Shepard. Considering Sterling Shepard runs his like tighter routes, I think he's better route running right now than Kadarius. Yes, I know Kadarius did put Trayvon Diggs on skates, and Diggs did not know what to do. That was probably the highlight. Well, far from him punching somebody in the Cowboys game, putting Trayvon Diggs on skates and he did not know what he was doing. I'm just sitting there kind of like, oh, you just got made a fool of. You might have seven interceptions in six games, but my man, never turn your back to a wide receiver. He was lost. Like, I mean, I know it's happened to Revis before. It's happened to top cornerbacks before. It'll happen to Ramsey at some point if it hasn't. You know, Devontae Adams made Ramsey look like a fool. These things happen. And I do have to admit, I think Diggs has been very humble. He hasn't been showboaty about it. Other people have been doing his talking for him. But yeah, dude, you got spun around like a carousel. Just like a top. But anyway, speaking of Kadarius, I do like Kadarius, especially with Jones playing, being a little bit more accurate, understanding the routes a little bit more, having more timing, I think is going to be a good thing. Jones has played well. He is the team's leading rusher, 30 attempts, 197 yards in rushing, and 1,200 yards, just under 1,300 yards passing. For missing a whole game, I think that's pretty good. He basically, missed a good chunk of that game. I don't know how I feel about playing Jones if you can play somebody else. Again, Taylor Heinicke. I'm in a predicament where I don't know if I should play Heinicke or if I should play Jones. Just because there's no Barkley, I think Jones can get you those rushing touchdowns again. So I like his upside there when they get closer, but they also may be more hesitant to have him do run options. However, I also think that he's been cleared, so he is okay. It's not like he's at any greater of a risk than he was before. He may slide more now quickly, but I do think that they may try to make a statement and they may have him run still to like, they're probably going to be like, they'll do a run option and the Rams are going to be like, oh, Booker's going to get the ball. They're not going to, have Jones run it. And then Jones, just bust a long one like he had done against Washington before the penalty. So, if you're in a spot or you have high hopes or your team is just loaded in general because you didn't go quarterback and you're looking for one, I do like Jones if your team is very well-rounded and you've just been like, I'm going to stream quarterbacks, then, go ahead and play Jones. I'm probably going to end up playing him over Heinicke. I definitely want to see kind of like how everything shapes up with I don't want Heinicke to try to play catch up and throw like three interceptions against the Chiefs either and then not put up any points. I don't see the Rams defense being that good in the secondary, and Aaron Donald's banged up. So I don't see them, As long as he avoids Ramsey, I think Jones can still have a solid game. If you had Barkley, you're probably going to start Booker. I know Darrell Williams is there as well. Darrell Williams and Booker are probably your top two plays. There is Khalil Herbert, but he is young. You know, I kind of like Booker over Josh Jacobs because it's just inconsistent, and I don't know what this team's going to look like with no Gruden now. I'm not sure what the offensive, you know, it's the same OC, yes, but you, sometimes the head coach is like, I want to run the ball more. I want to pass the ball more. I want to get this guy involved more. You just don't know, and I think, you know, Peyton Barber had a really good game once, and maybe the interim coach likes Peyton Barber more. Like, you just don't know what's going on. You don't know what's going to happen. So, the only receiver I'm starting for the Giants is Kadarius Toney. In super deep leagues, again, if you have Shepard or, you know, you have people on bye weeks and things like that, and you need somebody, you can play him. But I think Toney has the highest upside right now. Again, especially with the injuries, Slayton and Shepard, you know, soft tissue injuries can linger if they try to explode somewhere. So I would feel more comfortable with Toney, even though he is questionable. He's going to play. He's just on the injury report. I'm not really too concerned about that. Where, again, the soft tissue stuff, I don't want to see you start Shepard. He goes to make a move. He comes up holding his hammy, and then he's out for the game when you could have started Toney. So I would load up Toney to go straight up. I like Toney over Robert Woods, to be completely honest with you. I really do. You're going to start Henderson. I think Henderson probably... Zeke just carved him up, so I think Henderson could probably have a good game. They're probably going to try to do some game management. See what happens. I'm hoping the Giants defense might be able to do something. Excuse me, with Jones back, you might be able to keep drives going longer, so your defense isn't going to be on the field as long. So therefore, you know, I think they might run a little bit more. But yeah, no, you're going to start Henderson. You're starting Stafford. I like Stafford. It's a Giants defense. I mean, if they decide to air it out, Stafford's going to have a massive game. But yeah, I like, obviously, starting Cooper Kupp, all that good stuff. But yeah, if you have Toney and Woods, I would definitely start Toney over Woods. Even though they showed you what they can do with Woods, I just think it may have been like a, here's a cookie, we'll still get you involved, now be quiet for a week. It's just going to be game flow, you know. I think Stafford does have a lot more trust with Woods now, hopefully after that game, so he might not be looking for Kupp all the time. He may use Kupp as a decoy a lot of the time, so just have to be careful of that. If you have Woods and no Toney, you can definitely obviously start him as a flex. I do like that option just for the possible upside of what he can bring you, especially against the Giants' terrible, terrible defense. Deshaun Jackson playing the Giants. If you want to go on a flyer, Deshaun Jackson always burns the Giants from his days with the Eagles. So I wouldn't be surprised if maybe Jackson gets in the game, hits and gets a long touchdown. Really wouldn't surprise me, but it's just going to be one home run, I think. So we'll see. But you're going to start Booker, depending again on your running back situation. Chances are, if you had Booker, you probably had Barkley. So, starting Booker. Booker, Jones, I don't mind starting. I'm probably going to lean towards Jones this week. We shall see. Hopefully, this is a big passing game for him this week again. Another like 400 yards would be fantastic. And I'm starting Toney. Next, we're going to go with the Bengals and the Lions. Bengals, Lions. All right. So, Joe Burrow. How can you not start Joe Burrow? But how can you start Joe Burrow? I just think that you start Joe Burrow, you run the risk of low pass opportunities, things like that. Chances are you took Burrow as your starting quarterback and you might have somebody else. Again, I still like Taylor Heineke over Burrow. Like I said previously, I'm personally going to be probably starting Jones over Heineke. That could change, but that's just my personal choice. The smart person in me would start Heineke. But I'm probably going to start Jones because of my heart, not my head. Joe Mixon is supposed to get back a majority of the workload. However, he was on the injury report today. So just keep that in mind. If you have Mixon, just pay attention around like 11:30 when they do the inactives and actives, because you might have to start somebody else. So just keep an eye out on that. I don't think it's anything major. He's probably still on the injury report because of last week and things like that. But it just came up today with him in practice. So if you have P. Ryan, you know, maybe look for that if you have him. But again, just pay attention to 11 o'clock and they'll see how bad it is. And then obviously you're going to start Ja'Marr Chase. Obviously, just because of the big game potential, like he might only get 6 targets, but 5 of them, like he's going to make the most out of them. And again, they just, the nonverbal communication that Burrow and Chase have, I think is really, really valuable and really undervalued and underlooked by other teams. Like when they're playing against them, it's just like, oh, you know, like Joe Burrow could do something that nobody catches, but Ja'Marr Chase knows what to look for, or an inflection in the voice, like these, you know, so defenses aren't going to pick up on that. They will. So you're obviously starting Chase. No questions asked. I don't like Boyd, especially with Higgins back and the emergence of
Uzama.
Sorry about that. Uzama. There's plenty of other people you could probably start over Boyd. So Kadarius Toney over Tyler Boyd. I like Amon St. Brown from the Lions over Boyd. You know, so there's some options out there for sure. I do like T. Higgins if you're in deeper leagues. He's, you know, he came back last week from an injury, so maybe another week he does some stuff. Joe Burrow's a smart quarterback. He makes the right decision. He doesn't force it to Chase. He just takes opportunities with Chase. If he sees one-on-one coverage, he's going to go for it. He's not going to, you know, he's going to take that risk. He's not a gunslinger, but, you know, if he can get it to Higgins, he'll get it to Higgins. Higgins does have 15 catches on two touchdowns and 150 yards, but he missed a couple weeks. So just keep that in mind. And Boyd was a product of that, you know, so... Lions, you're loading up Hockenson, you're loading up Swift, and you're loading up Amon St. Brown. If you don't have other receivers, Kadarius Toney over St. Brown. If you, you know, have people that are on buys, if you had maybe a Corey Davis you've been starting for some random reason, you know, load up St. Brown. I like him. He's really the only wide receiver there. DeAndre Swift and Hockenson do lead the team in receiving yards. DeAndre Swift is the highest targeted player on their team by 2 and obviously has the most receptions. So I expect him to be playing catch up this game as always. I like Swift. I like Hockenson and St. Brown. Those are really your 2-3 primary pass catchers. I do believe both Williams and Swift were questionable. Are questionable for Sunday. So again, just keep that in mind. Especially if Swift can't go, you're obviously it's going to be a big game for Williams, I think. And if Williams can't go, it's just Swift all day. So just a couple things to, you know, keep in mind. But yeah, Amon St. Brown. Fire him up if you need to. I like him a lot. I like him a lot. Obviously, again, not over the stud receivers, like not over, like you're not starting Amon St. Brown over Ja'Marr Chase. If you're newer to fantasy football or you're newer to my podcast and I'm saying, you know, fire him up, it's dependent on your team. If you picked up St. Brown for a bye week player, if you picked up St. Brown for an injured player, if you picked up St. Brown for somebody of some sort of something, fire him up. You know, I like him. You're going to take a risk. It's fantasy football. You know, you just pray that it's his day. You're not starting Goff. You could probably, I like Jamal Williams in non-PPR and obviously Swift in non-PPR and PPR, but Jamal Williams is your non-PPR guy and Swift is going to be your PPR guy. But that is really it for that. I don't like either defenses because Jared Goff is a competent quarterback. So if I had to play a defense, no defenses here. maybe the Rams defense, but I'm telling you something about Daniel Jones this year is like, just can't trust it. Just cannot trust it. Next, Packers Bears. Nothing too crazy here other than Khalil Herbert's going to be playing for the Bears because Damian Williams is on the COVID list. Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones, Devontae Adams. Fire them up. Get them going. The top guys. If you have Heineke, Heineke over Rodgers, not terrible. Packers, Bears, divisional game. So they're going to know each other. They're going to play tough. Heineke playing the Chiefs, terrible defense. I'm just saying, things like that. Stafford over Rodgers, I like. You know, Dak. Yeah, like, the, you know, those guys I like over. You're going to start Rodgers over Wentz. But Bear, Khalil Herbert, I mean, and I think just Khalil Herbert, if you're desperate. It pains me to say Allen Robinson, but like, I'm starting Michael Pittman over Allen Robinson. I'm starting, you know, that type of player over Allen Robinson. I might even start T. Higgins over Allen Robinson. I'm not even kidding. Robert Woods over Allen Robinson. You know, maybe even Rashad Bateman over him. Kadarius Toney over him. The Cowboys receivers. You know, A.J. Brown over him. Like, those, you know, guys that haven't been necessarily performing well. You know, I think Chase Claypool over Allen Robinson. Like, that's kind of where I am with Allen Robinson right now. And that's really it. Like, Darnell Mooney, you're not going to start Darnell Mooney. Like, he just runs well and he runs fast. And Justin Fields throws a pretty deep ball. But if Justin Fields doesn't have time to throw the ball, he hasn't done anything consistently enough for you to trust him, is what I'm saying. And Mooney had the 1 week, but it's just like, is Fields going to be the running quarterback? He's going to be passing quarterback. You have more and more film, so you're going to be able to pick up more and more on Fields' tendencies. So you'll kind of see what's going on. Colts Texans, you are starting any and everybody except for Carson Wentz. Well, no, you're starting nobody and anybody except for Carson Wentz and Michael Pittman. Oh, and Jonathan Taylor. I forgot Jonathan Taylor was there. Don't mind me. I'm sorry. Long day today. You know, I got to try to do these things a little bit earlier. Jonathan Taylor, look, I get it. It was a screen pass that went backwards for air yards, and then he took it 76 plus yards to the house. Like, it was probably 80 yards that he actually ran for the touchdown, but they based it off the line of scrimmage. Carson Wentz has progressively gotten better. He's looking more and more comfortable with the offense, with his ankles, with the line. The line's gotten better, and there's still no Quentin Nelson, I believe. So it's going to all come into play. Michael Pittman has shown you he's going to get volume. T.Y. Hilton is there. T.Y. Hilton has always owned the Texans for as long as I have been playing fantasy football, and T.Y. Hilton has been a thing. But it's his first game back from neck surgery. I still like Pittman. I think Hilton can be a teaser, like just a distraction. But I do like Wentz again over any quarterback from the 9:30 game. Carson Wentz over Kirk Cousins and Sam Darnold. Carson Wentz over Baker Mayfield. Carson Wentz over Derek Carr. Carson Wentz over Teddy Bridgewater. Those types of things. I like Carson a lot this week. They win this game. Chiefs and the Washington football team. Oh, yeah, nobody from the Texans. If you're desperate, Brandon Cooks, but you're going to start Brandon Cooks over Allen Robinson. T. Higgins over Brandon Cooks. Kadarius Toney over Brandon Cooks. I like Adam Thielen maybe over Brandon Cooks. Just because I think Davis Mills has realized there's other people than Brandon Cooks. And we didn't know that. You didn't know that going into the season. The only option there was Brandon Cooks. But then you play the games, you see who you have, you see who you can trust. Davis Mills can clearly stretch the field with it. So, you know, I'm not saying that he's not going to get his points. I just think there's other people that are going to get more points than Brandon Cooks this week. So, Chiefs and the Washington football team. Keep an eye on Tyreek Hill. You're going to start Darrell Williams from the Chiefs. He has gotten a lot of the looks from CEH down in the red zone. He's kind of been, I think Darrell Williams had a CEH problem. I think that you're going to see the Chiefs offense and running game might actually be a little bit better with Darrell Williams than CEH. Just saying. Alrighty. Sorry. I just saw something on my fantasy, one of my fantasy rosters. I didn't think that could happen because it said I had to do something. So that's actually really weird. Very weird, actually. Sorry about that. I thought I had to place a bid in one of my fantasy leagues, and I don't think that they had to because I would have made some moves previously. But never mind. Anyway, we'll get into that later. Patrick Mahomes, you're obviously going to start Patrick Mahomes. Tyreek Hill, keep an eye on him again. Watch the 11:30 report. The actives, inactives that come out from the teams because he is hurt. He may play. He doesn't miss very, very many games. If he does not play and you do not have Mecole Hardman or somebody on in your league does not have Mecole Hardman, I recommend probably going out and trying to pick him up. He's the second best option on their team right now until Josh Gordon gets more comfortable with the playbook. Like I said, Darrell Williams is probably going to have a pretty good game as well. The Washington's defense has not shown you that they can stop anything. And Travis Kelce, obviously. But those, you know, I feel most comfortable with Darrell Williams, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes. And if you, again, injuries, pickups, bye weeks, if Hill does not play, I do like Mecole Hardman. Washington, Antonio Gibson is questionable with a stress fracture in his shin. So if you have J.D. McKissic, take a look. And again, 11:30, because this is going to be massive to see if he's going to be active or inactive. But just stay on Twitter. If I see that he's going to be out or something, I'll try to retweet it on Twitter, sports_euphoria. So keep these things in mind. Taylor Heinicke, I like Taylor Heinicke a lot. The Chiefs defense is terrible. Chiefs are probably going to put up a lot of points. Heinicke's going to have to throw a lot. I did say previously that I think Heinicke may throw more interceptions than typical than he typically would, because if the Chiefs get out to a really big lead, they're not going to run the ball. They're just going to throw the ball. And then you just know what they're going to do. So they can just sit back and read his eyes, because he's still, again, a young quarterback. Terry McLaurin and Ricky Seals-Jones, depending on your tight end situation, if you have like no tight ends or tight ends on a bye. Like, it's a bad tight end year, so if there's probably better people out there, for sure. Like, I'd probably, oh God, obviously Hockenson, I don't, Dan Arnold. I probably like Dan Arnold over Ricky Seals-Jones more. Gesicki over Ricky Seals-Jones. If you want to take a shot in the dark, even maybe a Mo Alie-Cox over a Ricky Seals-Jones. But yeah, those are just a couple things. No DSTs here, though, please. Next, Chargers-Ravens should be a phenomenal game. I think it's going to be a shootout. You're just loading up everybody. Like, everybody except the Ravens running backs. Mark Andrews, obviously, being a top tight end. Marquise Brown. Sammy Watkins is out. Rashad Bateman. Bateman makes his NFL debut. Is it his NFL debut? I'm fairly confident he's a rookie. Yeah, he is. I don't know why I had brain fart on that. Like, that was actually silly on my part. But yes. So you're starting Marquise Brown. He's been a top player this year. Top receiver, top five up to this point. Keep an eye on Bateman. If you took him as a sleeper, they don't have Sammy Watkins, so they may look to get him going early. He hasn't played yet this season, so just keep that in mind. If you were in a deeper league and, again, random stuff, you took Kenny Galladay, you have Adam Thielen, and Adam Thielen's burned you, so you don't want to do it. You took Robbie Anderson, you're just looking for somebody kind of to play. You take a shot at Rashad Bateman. Chargers. Oh, yeah, sitting over running backs, right? Yeah, Lamar Jackson playing. The Chargers. Pay very close attention. Mike Williams did not practice much this week and was limited and now questionable with a knee injury today. There's swelling and fluid in his knee, so it's just keep an eye out. typically whenever there's an injury on a Friday or a DNP, you did not participate or did not practice. You want to just keep, be mindful of that. So kind of prepare yourself and think about your lineup to see what's going on. But other than that, Keenan Allen, again, your tight end situation, you know, Jared Cook, he's been more and more consistent as the weeks have gone on. So keep that in mind. You could probably fire up Jared Cook and you wouldn't be disappointed. He's probably could get you at least 50 yards. Maybe a touchdown depending on the situation again, but tight ends have just not been the greatest this season. So Austin Eckler, Justin Herbert, they're just going to light it up. And if Mike Williams plays, it's going to be the Keenan Allen and Mike Williams show. Obviously, if Williams does play, they're going to try to take him away a little bit more. So I expect a better game from Allen this week. Herbert's a smart young quarterback. He's going to know what to do, and he's not going to force the issue if he doesn't have to. Vikings-Panthers. This is going to be an extremely eyesore game, I think. Panthers defense is very good, and the Vikings have not looked good, like inconsistent. Chuba Hubbard is playing. Christian McCaffrey is out for the game. So Chuba Hubbard is playing. You're going to load up Chuba. Pay attention to Dalvin Cook. He should be good to go, but again, you just never know. It's Dalvin Cook. So if you have Madison, just again, keep the eye out for the 11:30 reports. Obviously, then Justin Jefferson you're playing. You're going to give DJ Moore the benefit of the doubt that it was just, you know, he just got shut down, like shut down by Darius Slay, like just shut down. So if Madison starts, you're starting Madison. If Cook starts, you're starting Cook. You're not going to play Madison by any stretch. You're not going to play those guys. But you're going to start, obviously, Jefferson, Adam Thielen, because he's been burning you so much. You might be a little hesitant. But I do think that you could get away with a little bit of Thielen. Probably more in standard leagues and PPR. Because he's just going to be touchdown dependent right now. But again, we'll see how that goes. If you get burned by him but not played him, you know, I just don't feel comfortable and confident in starting Adam Thielen until he shows me some consistency. And the Panthers defense is one of the top defenses in the league. So I just see it being a slow, long, drawn out game with not many stats from wide receivers. Now I could be completely wrong and it's like 40-40 and, you know, with 5 minutes to go in the third quarter or fourth quarter. Next, Cardinals Browns. Cardinals did just get Zach Ertz, but he cannot play. Max Williams is out all year. So next week we're going to break down the Cardinals offense a little bit more, but pay attention to Chase Edmonds' shoulder because that could mean a bigger game for James Conner. That could also mean a bigger game for Rondell Moore, who could be a gadget fidgety player. You're loading up DeAndre Hopkins, but this one, again, the Browns defense is very good. Well, I say that, but they gave up, you know, 40 some odd points to the Chiefs. Just kind of see what happens. I think Kyler Murray's shoulder is bothering him as well, so just kind of keep an eye on that. But if you have James Conner, just pay attention to Chase Edmonds to make sure. If you have Edmonds, just again, pay attention to the, I think it's a 130 report for the 405 games, see if he's active or inactive. Browns, keep an eye on the Browns. Nick Chubb is out, and Kareem Hunt is also dealing with some injuries. So if you need somebody and you want to pick somebody up and you see Hunt is not playing, pick up Dimitri Felton. He played a couple weeks ago and did very, very well, and they really like him. He's very talented receiver running back. So if Hunt can't play, pick up Felton, and I would not be surprised to see Felton with a big game. He knows the team, knows the offense, and he's shown that he can produce before, and they're going to want to try to slow the game down from the Cardinals. So I see it being another big running game. If you need a tight end again, you know, and you don't have anybody, or you had Max Williams, or you have Hunter Henry or something, and you think Njoku can maybe repeat again, go for it. I don't necessarily, if you're confident with Njoku doing what he did last week, he could still produce, but he went crazy last week. I don't really feel super, super comfortable with anybody but the Cardinals receiver being DeAndre Hopkins. again, inconsistencies from AJ Green, and just, you know, it's a little bit different than the Buccaneers. There's a lot, like, there's a lot of weapons for the Bucs, but Tom Brady just knows kind of how to use them or whatever. Kyler Murray scrambles around, and you don't know who's going to be open at that point in time. You can feel a little bit better with Tom Brady because he's more consistent and he's not going to run around. So he's, you know, you're going to have, his receivers are going to be able to get the ball a little bit better, where it depends on which receiver gets open first while Kyler's running around. That's who he's going to throw it to. But yeah, so basically keep an eye out on Kareem Hunt to see if he's going to be playing. If not, pick up Demetri Felton. I think you will not be disappointed. Next game will be the Cowboys Patriots. Yeah. Damian Harris has a rib injury, so look for Stevenson. And Brandon Bolden in deeper leagues. Brandon Bolden PPR, Stevenson in non-PPR. I do like Jacoby Myers this week, and Hunter Henry has shown that he's, you know, the better option right now at tight end. So again, unless you have Darren Waller, Mark Andrews, and Travis Kelce, or Dalton Schultz, or Dawson Knox, and you're looking for somebody, Hunter Henry is another good streamer that you can play. Be careful with Zeke. Keep an eye on him. He is going to be playing a little banged up, but he's a tough guy. He'll probably at least get you a touchdown before he leaves the game. Jacoby Myers, like I said, with no, if Damian Harris doesn't play, I do like Jacoby to do some stuff, but the emergence of Hunter Henry, I think, is going to hurt a lot of Jacoby's targets. Cowboys receivers also scare me a little bit because of the sheer pass volume that the Cowboys don't really throw the ball much anymore that they did like week one. You know, you're looking for a big play from CeeDee Lamb, and you're going to look for a big play from Cooper because Dak's probably just going to roll out, throw it to Schultz a lot. But he's not afraid to just get other people involved. People I like over the Cowboys receivers. Probably not too many, to be honest with you. If you have them, I mean, you're going to play them. But, I mean, I do probably like Chase Claypool over Amari Cooper. With no Juju Smith for the rest of the season, you're going to see a lot of Chase Claypool's numbers go back up. He had a good game last week. Deontay Johnson's their deep threat. He will get some more, you know, some more targets as well. But I feel comfortable with Claypool. He did it last year, and I think he can show you he can do it again this year. So I do like him over, say, Cooper. You're going to start Cooper and both Cooper and Lamb. It's just you just don't know how many times the Cowboys are going to throw the ball. Because they're just a well-oiled machine right now. So next, Raiders Broncos. Darren Waller, Josh Jacobs, if he plays. I know he's dealing with a couple things right now. Josh Jacobs is. I like Cortland Sutton with Teddy Bridgewater playing, and that's just about it. Tim Patrick's a good PPR guy as well in deeper leagues if you need to, or three receiver leagues, but I do like Cortland Sutton over him. Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams. I do like Williams a little bit more. Gordon's been still a little bit banged up, but you just hope to see that Javonte can maybe do something at some point and pull the job away. Again, there's a lot of running backs, you know, that are hurt. I think it's like 13 or 14 different running backs because all the starters from week one are hurt on 13 to 14 different teams. So it's just kind of crazy. But the Raiders, I mean, they got a lot going on. I don't really know what their new interim coach, how they're going to look. They might come out a little flat. They are playing at Mile High. So, you know, I'd steer clear. You're going to start Waller, because Darren Waller. But I mean, if PPR, you might still start Renfro. But again, I just don't really feel comfortable with anybody except for Waller because of what they got going on. And the Broncos do have a somewhat good defense, but we'll see. They're finally starting to, their level of competition is starting to drop a little bit, so we'll see what happens. Next, we'll do Seahawks-Steelers. Seahawks-Steelers, no Russell Wilson for possibly 4 to 8 weeks, so Geno Smith is going to be backing them up. Steelers looked a little bit better last week. Again, you know, they lost Juju early, so I think you kind of saw what they would do, you know, without Juju. Najee Harris is probably going to end up seeing a lot more targets with no Juju, and I think Chase Chase Claypool is going to, you know, average probably 7 to 10 targets a game now, as well as Deontay. Deontay only had 2 targets on 2 catches last week, but I expect that to go up again with no Juju, but he is still is going to stretch the field. Seahawks, Chris Carson is out, so Alex Collins is going to be the play here. They're going to rely a lot on Collins for the simple fact of it's Geno Smith as quarterback, not Russell Wilson. So you're going to look to, you know, slow the game down a little bit, you know, and rely on your running back. Even if it's dump offs, I think Collins has a chance for a decent game because, again, running backs are hurt. So, you know, you're going to pick up Collins. Carson is out and may even go on the IR. So keep that in mind. The only receiver I trust here as well is DK. And I only trust DK because of what they did last week. DK and Geno did get a touchdown. Geno has a big arm. So again, don't forget about Lockett, but Lockett's doing Lockett things. A couple of good games. You're like, oh, Tyler Lockett, this is fantastic. I took the wrong receiver. You know, like I took DK Metcalf and he wasn't doing much. I'm like, oh man, I shouldn't have taken him. I should have taken Lockett. But then DK starts doing DK things and Lockett starts going and hiding again. So DK is probably the only person I really like on that team. And I still like him as a top receiver because I really think that a lot of people are going to think that it's like, oh, we're just going to, you know, it's Geno Smith. Like Geno Smith has a big arm and he was a high draft pick. Like he's a competent quarterback. He's competent. And he's been in Seattle, I think now, maybe 2 years. 2 or 3, he knows the offense. He knows the teammates. Pete Carroll makes people feel good. He came in hot. If it wasn't for Lockett falling down, they could have won the game last week. So just don't be surprised. I'm not starting Geno. I'm just saying because it's Geno Smith. But I think the receivers are going to have competent games. I think they'll be good. I think they'll be all right. And then Bills Titans. Derrick Henry, and then just Derrick Henry. I feel terrible for AJ Brown just for the simple fact of he hasn't been overly consistent. Obviously coming back from injury, I still don't think he's feeling too hot, you know, so I just like Derrick Henry. I like Ryan Tannehill, probably. I like Ryan Tannehill over Derek Carr. I like Ryan Tannehill over Teddy Bridgewater because the Bills are probably going to put up points like crazy at some point because Derrick Henry can only score so much and run so much. I think Tannehill is probably going to be able to get you some points for sure. So look for that. I like him over Baker Mayfield. I like him over Ben Roethlisberger. I like almost everybody over Ben Roethlisberger. And this is Ryan Tannehill, like Ryan Tannehill over Sam Darnold, Kirk Cousins. Ryan Tannehill over Goff and Fields. Ryan Tannehill over Lawrence and Tua. So, you know, that's how I feel for right now. That's definitely how I feel. But yeah, guys, that's week 6, the week 6 preview. Like I said, I mean, I hope you guys can obviously win some leagues, win some weeks, win some games this week. With everything that I've kind of showed you with some of my flyers. Like I said, I do like Trevor Lawrence a lot. If you have him, I don't know why. I just feel like he's going to kind of have, like I said, a three to four total touchdown game. And James Robinson is going to do well as well. They've been giving the ball. Urban Meyer's, you know, he's realized that he's just a better back, you know? So, and if you have any questions, again, sports_euphoria on Twitter and Instagram. I do have bets that I'm going to be making. I'm going to post them again tomorrow or Sunday morning. I just want to see how these spreads are going to change and how the teams look before I make my bets because there's been a lot of late injuries today. Between yesterday and today. So I kind of want to see if the spreads jump at all. And I kind of want to see how they jump. I have a nice little parlay going right now, but I'm sure the odds have changed with all the shit going on. But we'll see what happens. I may even share my parlay picks. We'll see. But yeah, I mean, if you guys, like I said, if you guys have any questions or anything like that, you know, I like Daniel Jones a lot. No, I don't like, you know, I like Trevor Lawrence. I'm just trying to think about, you know, different guys that, you know, I like and whatnot and different things like that. I did, for you guys to know, I did do a fantasy hockey and I'm doing a fantasy basketball to kind of see how those things go. So I'm going to work on that and do some more research into those because I just love sports, guys. I just love sports. But let me see. All right. So personally, I'm not, you know, do you start, people are going to ask, do you start Devontae Booker over like Herbert or Williams if you happen to get both? Because you maybe had Barkley and CEH or, you know, whatever the case may be. You know, or if you have, you know, if you, or if you just picked up, you know, Williams and Booker, but you don't need, you want to know which one to start. I do like Booker a little bit more. Cause he's shown you in Oakland. Wow. In Las Vegas, he can catch the ball. He's multifaceted. He's versatile, you know, so he's going to get you some PPR points, especially again, you don't know how Mitchell and Slayton. Oh my gosh. Slayton and Shepard are going to play. And if they, you know, aggravate something, you know, and the defensive line for the Rams is good. Jones might be dumping it off to Booker. Just keep these things in mind. Josh Jacobs does scare me a little bit. I do want to say I do like Chuba, Zach Moss over Josh Jacobs. I also, if Chase Edmonds doesn't play, James Conner over him would be another good option. Things like that. Like, you know, kind of like from a rankings perspective. I am going to work also on coming out with my own rankings and kind of showing you guys and coming out with like a spreadsheet. I want to work on articles and things like that, or just show you guys my rankings and all that good stuff. I really am trying to and be a little bit more different with the podcast instead of just going, you know, game by game and breaking down who I would start over. You know, I kind of want to have something more concrete, maybe, you know, do like a Thursday, Friday thing or Friday, Saturday, go over certain games here, focus more on those, play like, you know, different kind of like things. If you guys have a question, like, you know, if you have Joe Mixon and you have Devontae Booker, who do you play? If you have DeAndre Swift and, you know, Darrell Williams, like, just, they're terrible references and things to try to compare. But, you know, like Alex Collins, I think, you know, should be, if you have Myles Gaskin, I'd probably rather play Alex Collins kind of thing. Like, I want to try to be able to do a couple different things and really kind of like bring it home and have whoever else it is that I'm working with for hosting and co-hosting to try to do the same thing. And this way we can talk about why they ranked this person over this person that I had. Maybe they had somebody at, you know, 15 and I had him at 18. Why? Or 20 or 25. Was it a matchup thing? Was it a production thing? Is it, you know, so I do, again, I you know, I just want to kind of help you guys win your leagues and win your weeks. And I want to be able to have something to, you know, to show you guys pretty much and help. And if you have tough decisions to make, to come in and ask or have something to reference, you know, that's what I'm trying to do. I want you guys to be able to listen and be like, oh, okay, so I'm stuck between these two players. And, you know, Dave says this guy over this guy, and then Dave tells me why. And then Connor says this guy over this guy and tells me why. So, you know, whose opinion do I think is a little, you know, do they agree? Do they disagree? Why do they disagree? You know, I want to be able to bring that into you guys and have you guys experience that. Like, I talked to a bunch of people throughout the day at my job for it. And, you know, I'm like, oh, I like this guy because this is a crazy good matchup. And, you know, they always play the slot receiver poorly, or tight ends always, you know, do well against them. Or maybe the team realizes that a tight end did well against them. So maybe they're going to focus more on a tight end that week and taking that away. So it's like, oh, you know, I think that a receiver might open up more because they're going to focus more on, you know, Travis Kelce. because there's no Tyreek Hill. So hence McCole Hardman, have McCole Hardman try to beat us, and maybe he can. And then at halftime, they're like, okay, we have to respect it. And then Kelce does something. So it's kind of like, you know, if Hill doesn't play, I like Hardman, and I like, I'm high on him because they're going to focus a lot of attention on Kelce. So Hardman will have more opportunities. So, and especially if he does treats Mahomes well and makes tough catches, Mahomes trusts him, things like that. Like, it's like, oh, I don't like McCole Hardman. Like, you know, even in a DFS day, like, that's what I'm trying to do. Like, oh, I'd bump Hardman up if Hill doesn't play over certain guys, like, kind of thing. Like, if Hill doesn't play, you know, who are you going to, you know, do you go the Hardman route? You know, Hardman over Thielen. I would do Hardman over Sutton. Probably Hardman over Lockett at that point if Hill doesn't play, because I just think that the targets are going to be there. So he has, like, those types of things. I want to be able to do that for you guys and help with the decisions and stuff like that. Like, I have here, if you're watching live on stream, excuse me, or you want to watch the video, go to twitch.tv/sportseuphoria or Sports Euphoria on YouTube. I'm going to have it up there as well. You can watch it to see the screens I'm looking at and see, you know, how it is, what I'm doing. You can see what it is I'm looking at. You know, I'm in a predicament. I have no Saquon Barkley, and my other starting running back is Chase Edmonds. I have nobody else. I have 1, 2, 3, 4 running backs on IR. Four. I only have 2 starting running backs. So I'm in a situation right now where I have to make a decision. What am I going to do? You know, so you got to just pay attention to these certain things. But that's what I want to be able to bring you guys, is like the tough decisions. Like, I really like Heinicke. I should start Heinicke. Am I going to? Probably not, because I just love my Giants so much. Right? So these are the types of decisions that I have to figure out. Like, I started Devontae Smith. I should have, I thought with the Bucs defense, he would have done well, but I have Emmanuel Sanders. Like, so do I want to start Tony over Emmanuel Sanders? Because you're basically loading up the Bills' entire offense. I don't think I said that, but you're loading up the Bills' offense. Josh Allen, Emmanuel Sanders, Stephon Diggs, and Zach Moss. Cole Beasley's burned me too many times right now. I don't, you know, Zach Moss is the lead back. I would just go with Moss and Dawson Knox. Those are the guys. But like, I love Tony this week. I do, but he has weapons coming back now. So even though Sanders isn't the first option, Josh Allen likes Emmanuel Sanders. Sanders had a good game last week. Tony had a better game, but Sanders has been doing it for longer. And Sanders plays on Monday night. So these are different things that, like, go through my head, and I want to be able to try to have you understand that as well. Like, I like having a guy play on a Monday night because it gives me that long shot chance that if he has a good game, I can win if I'm losing by 10 points. But those are the things that go into my head. Those are the things that I look for and how I make some of my decisions. I always like having somebody on a Monday night, and I hate playing somebody on a Monday night. You know, so I want to come out with my own rankings. I'm going to work on a couple different things to see what I can do, put it in an Excel sheet, show you guys, change it up, have other people that I want to do their rankings, and we would juxtapose them. So yeah, guys, look, at the end of the day, I appreciate whoever listens, whoever comes by. This has been the week 6 preview of the NFL and Thursday Night Football review of the Sports Euphoria podcast. I hope you guys have a great night. I hope you guys have a great weekend. If you don't follow me on the socials, follow me on the socials. I'm going to be putting my bets up there as well this week. See how I do. I do have to post my results from last week as well. It was not a good week, but just been a little busy with work. And like I said, it's my wife's birthday. It was my wife's birthday on Wednesday, so I didn't get a chance to kind of dive in and do the research I wanted to. But guys, with that being said, I hope you guys have a great night. It really does mean a lot for any of you who listen. And please, you want to know when I go live, reach out to me, follow me on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Twitch, follow the channel. You'll get notifications. We can interact live. I can answer any questions it is that you may have or listen to any suggestions that it is that you may have. Guys, I appreciate it. Have a great night. Enjoy your weekend. Win your weeks. Later.